That was a weak clap. I said, I love to see the kids up here, don't you? Part of the Christmas offering that we're going to receive this year is going to be for chairs for the gymnasium at St. Anthony's. There's chairs that are there, they're 50, 60 years old, kind of, they're rough. So we're going to buy, believe in God, for 200 chairs, and they're about $20 a piece, because a lot of these kids are going to be in that gym. They're going to be playing basketball and volleyball and whatever else they do. We got to have enough chairs for the moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles to sit on the side and to cheer them on when they're doing it, because we're going to help our young people to grow up to be greater than some of us have ever been able to be, and give them more opportunity and speak more life into them than ever before. So let's be a part of that. I pray that you'll consider doing something towards that. Maybe you could buy a chair. Maybe you could buy 20 chairs. Maybe just come up after the service, say, you know what, I want to buy all 200 chairs. God bless you. We'll do that. And we're part of the local benevolence is Crossroads. We're going to help. We're going to sow seed into them this year. Just felt the Lord to do that. And then international will be Pastor Mike Brown and the orphanages and the church in Nakuru, Kenya. So a great opportunity for you to sow somewhere for the work of the Lord this year. Also, this Thursday's Thanksgiving, and we do the Thanksgiving dinner as we have for years now. It'll be in the Generation Center. And I want to ask you if you'll call some people, check in on some people, find out if they're okay, if they want to come. You'll help them or get a way for them to get here, or you can do a takeout and take it to them. But let's make sure that nobody's alone. It'd be better if they came, so, because we have a army that'll be there volunteering. How many volunteers are coming this year? Just let me see your hand. I love that. And I think we could use even more, and I think we need a few more things for it too. If you want to participate in that, Kathy will be back at the table. She's got some big, beautiful sign-ups that you can contribute to that. She'll give you the details on that as well. After this service, believe it or not, we need some help bringing out Christmas decorations. Can you believe that? My wife put up Christmas trees in our house yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, it was in the 60s at 8:30 in the morning. So what are we doing here? And then all of a sudden, it started getting cold. And I got up this morning and I looked out the window. I turned on the light and I said, good Lord. And then I felt the Lord just grip me. And I thought, what a difference in 24 hours. And then I felt God. I heard him say, that's what I can do, not only in the atmosphere there, but I can do it in individual lives' atmosphere too. I felt him say, you may be in a sloppy, slushy moment, but God can turn that around and bring sunshine into your life. Could be dim and dark all the way around you, but when the Spirit of God touches down in your life, he brings light and sunshine and hope and faith that you can get through and accomplish anything. So I believe that is for somebody today, no matter where you are, 24 hours. I believe that. Who'll just say, that's me today. I want to reach out and touch that. Just reach out and grab that. Say, that's me. In 24 hours, I need God to change some things in my life. Let's believe God for that, to do great things. God, I just want to say thank you for the next few moments, that you will be honored and glorified in everything that is said and done. We give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen. Amen. I'm going to read about three scriptures today. I'm only going to be a few minutes, but before I do that, I want everybody to turn around at the sound booth and wave at Ben Martin. It's his birthday today. I love you, Benjamin. Benny and I heard we're having a big party, too.
Ben, he turned me off.
That's okay. My mouth can... It can go places where this thing won't carry me. We're going to have a party. I love you, Benjamin. He's one of my boys. Today at the end of service, too, we have some folks I said for men, but then I said, well, somebody said, why not women, too? Check your blood pressure. Well, I've been talking to you about men, No Shave November, and your health and getting a checkup. We're going to do a dinner on December 7th, a Wednesday night for the men. A young man, well, he's not young, he's younger. Well, he's in his early 50s. He's younger than me. Skinny, fit. You look at, I mean, he's so thin, he's skinnier than, he's like skinnier than Aaron Martin. And about 8 inches shorter. Just a skinny little guy. Hadn't been to the doctor in 10 years. Had high blood pressure, didn't know it, and has a stroke this week. He's in Buffalo General Hospital. I just pray for Nick Spiata, if you remember him. But when I heard that, I thought, we're going to get somebody to check your blood pressure. Now, men and ladies, all the ladies, come on, give me some help in here right now. You're going to help the men in your life. Don't let them walk out past that table. I know some of you men, you're hard head. And that's being nice. Stop. Get your blood pressure checked. It won't hurt. Okay? All the men said? Boy, that was so... Not going to say it too much. I want to just talk to you just for a minute. I'm only going to be just a few minutes. Just on the subject of being thankful, because it's Thanksgiving week, and I read the scripture, and I want this just to sink into you today, and I hope you'll write, just if you'll write three scriptures down, it'll touch your life this week, it'll help change you. In Psalm 100, he says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And I like this. And for those of you that don't like shouting, I mean, you go to a football game, you shout your brains out, and you come home, you got headaches and everything, but you get in the house of God, and for some unknown reason, somebody told you somewhere that it should be quiet and solemn, and nothing could be further from the truth. There should be more shouting for joy in God's house than in any football game ever in history, because we know who the winner is. It's predestined. God has won, and he's caused you to be a winner. That's why we make a joyful, what? Shout unto the Lord. And then he goes on to say, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. And it is he who made us and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Everybody say that. Be thankful. Come on, say it with some bombast. Say, be thankful and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And I was thinking about that generation. I was thinking about the founding fathers of our country and 102 pilgrims led by a man by the name of William Bradford landed at Plymouth Rock in 1620 in December. And by March of that following year, 45 of those pilgrims that had come with him had died from disease and from conflict with the Indians. And God had sent at that time an unexpected answer in an unexpected way to those people. He sent an Indian who had formerly learned the English language and had been witness to and had given his life to Jesus Christ into that place where those pilgrims were to teach them, not only to let them know there could be peace, but also teach them how to grow food and how to live and nourish and grow and be prosperous. And years before the need of those people were known, God was working out the answer to their need. I want to tell that to somebody today, that you may be in the middle of a challenge or something in your life, but God already knows about it, and he's already working something out on your behalf. He's got your future plan. He's going to help you, but there is a key to that help coming into your life. And because of what Jesus has done for us, he makes a way for us where there seems to be no way. And Thanksgiving reminds us of the miracles that God has done for our family. And William Bradford, on the first Thanksgiving that they shared together, he took an ear of corn and he shelled it off and he gave each person that they were sitting at that table with that day and gave them kernels of corn so that they could remember the small seeds that they had planted become and yielded a great harvest. I want to tell somebody today that your seeds in your life, don't take them for granted, but because before you know what's up, God's going to give you a harvest in your life. And I'm thankful for that today. Come on today. And Psalm 100 reminds us of this. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which you are called to one body, and be thankful. In a verse for our lives, and a reminder of the direction that we need to really think about and focus on this week is this verse out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. And Paul says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. And I want to tell you something. If you want to start this, you want to end out one year and start a new one, right? You will step into a dimension where you will not have the propensity to want to harm others who have harmed you. You know you've reached the maturity when you make up your mind, you will not live with an attitude of retaliation or revenge, but you will live with an attitude that loves and serves God. Don't render evil for evil to anyone. But he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So what's he say here? He says, number one, learn to rejoice always, not when everything is good, not when the bills are paid and you got enough money, not when you're just all the time feeling good or your needs are all met, but in every situation, learn to rejoice. He says that you and I can either choose to be a complainer or you can choose to be a praiser. I choose to thank God. He says, secondly, to pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. The Bible says to make your requests be made known unto God. The Bible says, call unto me and I'll answer thee and I'll show you great and mighty things you know not of. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. We need to pray without ceasing. And then he says to learn to give thanks. If you want to know what the answer to the issues of your life are, it's giving thanks. Not for that, but we give thanks to God because of who he is. We thank God because he is with us. We thank God that because in the midst of our sadness, he is going to strengthen us and he is going to help us through that. If I'm going through pain or disappointment, I don't thank God for the pain or the sickness or the disappointment, but I thank him that he is the answer out of it. He is not the author of your trouble, but he saw it coming before you and I ever knew it was coming, and he was going to be your answer. And then he tucks in there this one more thing, and he says, in everything, give thanks. Not for it, but while you're in the midst of it, you sometimes, in the middle of your challenge, in the middle of your heartache, in the middle of your pain, in the middle of tears coming down your face, you just need to step up and give God a thanks and a praise because he is the Lord that can help you through it and out of anything that you find yourself into. Right while you are feeling the worst about your life, if you'll stop and give God thanks, not for it, but in spite of it, and thank him because he is bigger than what you're facing in your life, he will help you get through whatever it is you're facing. Oh, come on, you ought to amen on that one today. Every time I tell this story, I get choked up, but I remember the first day when my wife Patty had to start getting the chemotherapy, and I had people coming up to me, good-natured, good-intentioned people, to say, well, you know, where's God in all of this? How do you equate this with what you do as a pastor? If God really loved you, why is she going through this? And I just love those kind of questions. And almost insinuating why maybe you should just give up. Maybe you should just turn away. And I want to tell somebody here today that if you're in the middle of a trouble and you're thinking of giving up, you are making the wrong decision. Because when you're in the middle of it, that's when you need to thank him for who he is. We don't give up in the middle of that. We stand there, and as they're putting that pick line in her arm and putting that poison in her that's going to clean that evil cancer out of her, we sit there and we say, God, I thank you that you are bigger than this. God, I thank you that you are, the Bible says, the God that healeth thee. I thank you that in your word in the Old Testament, you said, by your stripes we are healed. And Peter reiterated and said, by your stripes we were healed. I thank you, God, that you are bigger than cancer, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's cancer. That's heart conditions. That's epilepsy. That's any kind of symptom in your life will have to bow at the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that you are bigger than my issues and you're bigger than my problems. I thank you, Lord, that even in my family, I thank you, God, that my kids are serving you. And if you have a child that's not, you can say, God, I thank you that you not only came to save me, but your word declares, and my whole household. You need to declare it instead of complaining about how bad your kids are and how no good they are. Start thanking God for who they are and what God has called and created them to be. Thank him. Thank him for the goodness that he has. And this story in the Old Testament, and I'm going to just close it up with this in just a moment. In this Old Testament book of Numbers, God had taken the children of Egypt out of bondage. He delivered them out of slavery. God parted the Red Sea. They saw him do it. He destroyed the Egyptian army before their eyes. He gave them gold and silver in their pocket like he's done for some of you. He's blessed you. They saw a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day. The Bible says they drank water out of a rock. They saw this. Yeah, in the midst of everything that God had done for them, guess what they started to do? They begin to complain. They complain in Numbers chapter 14, and I'm talking to somebody today. Some people just, they feel it's their calling to complain about everything. I know nobody here is like that, but maybe you know somebody like that. That's my anointing, some people think. It's just to complain. It's like the lady that every time she came to church, she said, oh, it's terrible. How are you, Sister so-and-so? Oh, I'd be better if the weather was better. Oh, I'm sorry. Next day comes, it's raining. How are you, Sister So-and-so? Ah, it's raining. Next time come, it's cloudy. One day, the preacher looked out the window, and it was sunshine, and it was beautiful. I'm going to get Sister So-and-so today. She can't complain about anything. And he walked up to her in church. Sister So-and-so, isn't it a beautiful day? Can't we thank God? And she said, it might be nice here, but it's cloudy somewhere. Always complaining, and they complained in Numbers 14. It said, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if we had only died in the land of Egypt, or if we only had died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel. But Joshua and Nun and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes because they were so upset and they were so disappointed to see what God had done. And now these people complain. And look at what God answers in verse 27 and 28. He said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complained against me? Man, I'm so glad I'm not the pastor of a church like that. He said, I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel have made against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. You know that when you complain, you create that to stay in your life. In fact, one of the words, an old Hebrew word that defines complain is a word called, it's luwn, L-U-W-N, luwn. It means to lodge. It means to stay the night. Do you know that when you complain, what you complain about continues? You keep that in your life. They complained and it stayed, not for a night, but for 40 years of nights. Everything they had complained about stayed. And that's what happens in your life and I and in mine. That when you begin to complain instead of being thankful, you close the door to the favor and the blessing that God wants to give to your life. And you open the door to stay in that place day after day after day. Yeah, that's because when you meet a true complainer, you know that that's what they're defined about. They complain all the time. They complain about everything. Nothing is good. And that's because they get what they complain about, and it keeps them locked in that cell of complaining about everything. But God says, I want to bring you out of that. And I want to encourage you this week to change that paradigm in your life. Maybe you're here today, or maybe you know somebody. You go home and you read these scriptures to them and tell them, stop your complaining. Do you know that thanks is mentioned 116 times in the Bible, and 73 of the 116 are give thanks to God? There is a protocol to achieving and experiencing the favor and the goodness of God. And here it is. It's in Psalm 100, and we read it. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Come on today. Are you listening to me right now? Thanksgiving brings the miracle working power of God in your life. That's because if you're in a dark hour of your life, when you're thankful, the light of the world will come and shine his grace in you. If you're in great need today, you can be thankful because he is your provider. If you're in a storm, you can be thankful because he's the same master that has stood in boats and calmed the winds and the seas. He is a storm breaker. He'll stop the storms and push them out of your life when you're thankful. He'll transform your situation. He'll give you glorious. He'll give you blessings that you didn't believe you could get. He'll give you houses you didn't build, vineyards you didn't plant, wells you didn't dig, because of the blessing of God that will come into your life because you are thankful unto him and you bless his name. Come on, who's thankful in this house today? Come on, are you thankful to God today? Lord, we love you. We thank you, God. I want to pray for you today. Maybe I'm talking to you today. Maybe you're here today. And maybe you're just a grumbler. Maybe you're miserable. You're grumbling. You're getting old. Quick. I want to talk. I'm 61 now, so I'm entering into I'm the older guy here. I'm not as old as some of you. You know what my prayer is when I get really old? I'm going to sit right up on the front row. I don't know. Somebody will be preaching. One of these young bucks around here now, they're just waiting to push me out of the way. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit up there. I'm going to get me a little hanky like I got right here. Some of you make fun of me wearing it. I don't care. You just don't know style. I'm going to sit on the front row. I'm going to say, preach that, kid. Preach that. I'm going to be thankful, and I'm going to bless his name. Come on today. Come on today. What I'm saying to you is when you get older, that's not a badge for you to become miserable. When you get older, get the joy of the Lord. Let it be your strength. If you're weak, maybe that's why I can jack up 365 pounds on my shoulder, because the joy of the Lord, he is my strength. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Amen. Somebody just need to jump up and just say, God, I thank you. Come on. Come on, just do that. You just need to jump up and say, God, I thank you. Come on, just say, God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, God. I thank you, God. Yeah. Come on. Just do it. This is how we're going to go out of here today. Come on. Thank him. Thank him. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. eyes closed, heads bowed. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. I thank God today. Both of my parents were gone. My mom at 58, my dad at 59. My mom of cancer, my dad of alcoholism. And I'm standing here healthy today. I thank you, Lord, for that. That I get to preach the gospel, the greatest message that has ever been told in the world, in history and time. I thank you, Lord, for the young people. I thank you for young men like Brian, who God will use in a greater way, in a greater fashion than he ever thought. I thank you, Lord, for these young men and these young women that were up here singing and worshiping today, that that is only the beginning, God, that you're going to open up doors of great influence for them to have over the world, God. I pray and I thank you, Lord, for this church that you have called us at such a time as this. You have not turned your back, but you have looked towards us because we are givers and we are lovers of the ones that you love the most. I thank you, Lord. Because you have been good to us. You healed our bodies. You strengthened our weary souls. You redeemed us from the pit, God. You saved us when we were not worthy to be saved. You reached down and you pulled us up out of a dark, miry pit. And you put our feet on a solid rock. And God, I thank you for that today. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. God, now I just pray for my brothers and my sisters today. God, that your hand would be greatly upon them. I want, as I'm praying and closing, I want those who help with prayer down here just to come. If anybody needs prayer, when I close in prayer, you need somebody just to stand with you and agree with you. You want to give your heart to Christ today, you can do that. This is your day. This is your moment. This is your week. We're going to end 2016 strong and enter into 2017 with thankful hearts. We're going to leave some of the old stuff behind, bring some of the new stuff. Stand with God. Brian, come down here with me. You're going to pray for some people too today. We love you, Lord. God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the abundance of every good thing into our lives. I pray blessing over your people today. Over this season, I pray for the blessing of God to rest upon this people in this Thanksgiving season and this beautiful holiday and Christmas season. I pray you'll bring joy unspeakable to them and full of grace and full of glory. We ask it today in the name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said amen. One more big praise to the Lord today. Thank you, God. Listen, two things. If you need prayer today, you come down and see one of these folks. And also, Chris, where are you? Chris. Oh, Chris. All right. We're going to move the Christmas stuff in just a moment, okay? So, guys, if you want to help with that, you go stand right by the door. Ladies, too, if you want to help. Stand by the door. Chris will be there in just about 5 minutes to help you with that. I love you. Go in his grace.